Well, a man who knows all about when the air hurts your face, but he's out there snow blowing regardless. Tom Casper, our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners. Howdy there, sunshine.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Say, here's my question for you. What do you do in this town where, we complain a lot about older housing stock? That also means that our yards are smaller, that frequently, you share a driveway or you're kind of cheek and jowl up against somebody else. You may or may not have a driveway. Your front yard is like, boom, right on the street. What I'm getting at is, when you shovel or snow plow, or anybody shovels or snow plows or snow blows, snow lands on your stuff. It lands on your bushes and your shrubbery, and it wrecks it.
Now, is that a question?
Well, what I want to know is, why can't you put up a 10-foot fence all the way around your yard to keep you safe from other people's snow?
Well, you can put up a fence.
Not in your front yard, you can't.
No, not. Well, you can't put it out to the curb, or else it. You could to your property line.
The curb is where the nice snow plow people put it.
Right. Yeah, so you can't put it all the way. You can put it within a couple feet of your property line. But that's about as close as you're supposed to put it. So, and snow that's blown there or lands there naturally or shoveled into places where you have gardens or plants generally isn't going to do a lot of damage to like perennials and smaller shrubs. You would want to be careful if you're blowing it near or around. Say things like arborvitaes and stuff like that, you'd really want to direct it away from those, because that snow coming out of the chute has some force, if you're blowing it, has some force that can do some damage to those lower limbs or limbs on those evergreens. So trying to direct it away would be best. So
now, what about when the snow plow does come by? I planted some beautiful Finch cherries. Kind of close, they're right up to the sidewalk in the front. And does the city use some sort of a combination of chemicals or salts or whatever that's going to, they've survived pretty nicely, but do they use something that's going to melt away in the spring and poison your plants?
Well, as long as I've known, they've used salt, and depending on the conditions, plenty of it. So you would want to make sure if you're planting shrubbery or things like that, that is within that area, that you choose plants that one can sustain from that potential plow, but also that can sustain or take a higher salt content in the soil around them. So choosing plants that will be able to handle a little bit more salt or saline kinds of soil conditions would be better. So certainly when we're doing our own, to try to direct that again away from those plants would be best. So, or reducing the use of our own salt on our sidewalks, unless absolutely necessary. Like what we had right after Christmas certainly is, would warrant the use of something to help melt that ice that formed on the 25th and 26th of last month. So.
Well, they've got all of these groovy new options that are supposed to be more pet-friendly and easier on the concrete and easier on everything. So they continue to move in that direction. I'm really disappointed that the whole using beet residue never really took off. It's not a bad de-icer, but apparently it's kind of sticky.
Yeah, it worked good on the outside, but the people on the inside hated it.
Oh, bummer.
So it kind of got it, in small quantities it worked pretty good, but in larger quantities it just ended up tracking everywhere and creating issues in other spots. So it's kind of fallen off a little bit, so.
Say, now you got to remind me, because we worry about these things having lived in the Red River Valley for a while. This was sugar beet residue, right?
Right.
It wasn't, red beets. It was sugar beets.
Yep.
Which are white.
Yep. Yeah, but there are beets that are red in color as well, and with some of the residue from that. So,
so it was, it was, you had the option of like a pinkish purple de-icer?
Yeah, you could blend the two and de-ice depending on the, what you liked for color. So,
yeah,
no,
I kind of like that idea. You know, you'd know that somebody had put it down when, you know, it was all kind of beet colored.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
But on, you know, on a plant note, big news is, of course, is we're all getting catalogs. And I noticed on your Facebook page you had a, I think you had a picture of Shumway's catalog, didn't you?
Somebody, no, I didn't, but somebody did post a picture of a cup of coffee and a seed catalog. And I might have actually just passed that along. I thought that was just wonderful. It's like, yes!
Yes, yes. So the catalogs are arriving daily now. And have been for a few weeks, I guess, or even longer. But it certainly is that time that people start thinking about what they're going to be putting in their garden. So in a couple weeks, we're going to talk about those catalogs and things to look for, new and exciting things in the garden world and catalogs and trends. I recently read a story in the News Tribune about some of the upcoming gardening trends. And they're, and it, I don't know if they're all new trends, but certainly some interesting things for us to consider in the garden as we start planning for 2017's growing season.
Well, you're a trendy guy, so it'll be interesting to find out what Mr. Casper on the cutting edge is going to be experimenting with this year.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, you had your little breather, so get back outside. Get that snow plowing done. Direct the chute away from your plants, please.
Always.
And we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great. You have a good day.
Tom Casper this morning. He is a master gardener, the president of the Duluth Garden Flower Society, and our host for Tips for Hardy Gardeners.